feels like an honor to sit here with you all in your creative endeavors. I found this quote today by Oscar Wilde. Might as well be yourself. Everyone else is taken. Made me laugh. So what is this self that we are supposed to be? I began this creative journey almost 30 years ago with painting. I was looking for something to meet this incredible urge inside of me that was pushing and pushing, and I didn't know how to touch it, how to reach it, how to express it. Living in the Bay Area, there's so many different ways, and I made the rounds of belly dancing classes and conga drumming lessons and groups and process groups, and someone said, how about painting? And I thought, I can't paint. When I was in second grade, I did everything I could in this little drawing, and I just put everything I could into it, and it came back with a C on it. And I thought, that's the end of my drawing career. At the age of 8, I knew it was over. But something was still pushing inside. And someone recommended this class about process painting, and I read the description, which said you could start right where you were. And I thought, that sounds good. And I went to this class and began, and there was this white piece of paper waiting for me, but I didn't know what to do with it. There was this push and this fear and all this possibility and absolutely nothing at the same moment. And so with a lot of support and encouragement from Michelle Cassou, my teacher, I began simply by picking up a brush, red, blue, yellow. I didn't know how to paint. I didn't know how to make anything. I didn't know how. But something inside just wanted to try, and I cried every moment. It was like, oh, this isn't working. It's not going anywhere. What am I doing? It's horrible. It looks terrible. And she would just stay there and just keep supporting me to keep going and going. And I finished a painting, did another one and another one, and I'd go home, and it was weekly. It was 3 hours once a week. I'd come back, and I just would keep doing it, feeling like I can't do it. The judgments, the critics were so strong. But something in me said, if I stop, then what do I have? I don't like what I have when I'm going, but I don't want to stop and go back to where I was. So I had this dilemma, and I kept going. And sometimes I wonder what keeps us when everything feels like it's not working. This can't be all there is. What keeps us moving? At the same time I began this painting journey, I also began the journey of being a mother. And I began to watch my child, who just was living in her body and just moving, and she'd be frustrated, crawling, trying to get from one place to another, and she wouldn't stop. And I thought, that's what it feels like. We have the same energy that just wants to move and get there, and we don't know how to get where we want to go. I don't even know where I'm going, but something wants to keep moving. So I kept going, kept attending classes once a week, 3 hours, and slowly something started to happen. I can't say I love my paintings. Maybe I stopped crying as much about them, or the judgment might have gotten a little quieter, but it felt like I was connecting from the inside out, that I was beginning the only way I could, and with Michelle's support, just letting me know that that was enough, because I always felt like there must be more. I should be doing it differently. If I only had a class, if I took lessons, then I would get it right. There was always this drive to get it right, and always looking for what is the example of right. Is it your painting? Is it your painting? Is it that way? And in a way, it's like I couldn't see what I was doing, so I looked outside of myself. And so I began to find that there weren't answers. There was no example of me out there. And the only way I could find out was for me to keep finding my way. And so I kept going. And recently I decided, you know, this is, I call it process painting. It's not about the product, but somehow over 30 years I've gathered a lot of non-products in my garage, and they were stacked. And recently I decided, what if I pulled them out? What if I really sorted them and looked at them and just saw? Because I was so clear, I remembered they were not worth anything, nothing was happening. But I put them out in piles of decades and years, and I saw the first ones. And it was amazing to me. I had completely forgotten. Because all I remember of the beginning years was that nothing happened. But when I looked at them, I saw the beginnings of little creatures and little seals and scenes and a merry-go-round. I painted a merry-go-round, and it was like, it was so sweet. It was like so innocent. I don't know how to paint things, and there I was doing it any way I could. And I had forgotten all these things, and I'm glad I kept these paintings just to remind me of all the things I've forgotten. And as the years went on, I mean, I just kept staying with it. I would do once a week, and eventually I would do weekends and then longer intensives. And I began to find that I was discovering new things, that I thought I was this kind of person, and suddenly I was painting colors that felt scary. I was using black. I was using red. I could paint monsters. I could paint with more than one sheet. I could take up a lot of room. I could make a huge wall of painting. And it was like, wow, to take up space, to really go beyond when I'm supposed to be, you know, I think somewhere I learned along the way to, you know, stay contained, stay good. And there was something that felt like, what is it that isn't good, that's inappropriate inside? And so I began to slowly, with a lot of help from my teacher, learn that it was okay to push the boundaries, to get bigger, to try things, to dare, to try painting God, to try painting creatures, animals, monsters, sex, bodies, lots of different things. And it became this exploration. It became, suddenly I was showing up to paint, and I realized I wouldn't know what was going to happen. I might not feel comfortable, and I kept waiting to be comfortable. I still think I'm waiting to be comfortable in this process. And the more I'm with this process, I'm still not comfortable. I still show up, I still feel like I don't know what's going to happen, but something always happens. That white paper never stays white. Maybe all I can start with is a squiggle or a line, or maybe I start with an image. I often find that I'm very fascinated with the body, and so a body will come into my painting, but I never know what's going to happen with this body. I'm there to explore. And sometimes I'll find that there was one time I was painting the body, and all of a sudden there were these little beings, and they started passing through my body. It was like, how can they do that? I'm solid, aren't I? And they didn't believe me. I was like, wait, they're going through my body, coming in one end, going out the other, passing through my skin, leaving little holes everywhere. It was so amazing to realize, oh, maybe things aren't as solid as I think they are. And I just feel like, what else do I not know? What else am I believing about myself, that I'm this kind of person? And one time I felt like, you know, I certainly don't touch certain colors. I don't touch green. And I couldn't stop one time. I started with green, and for days and weeks and months, everything was green, green, green. I was just painting green everywhere. The same shapes I would paint, they could be images, bodies, whatever. Everything was green. It was like this amazing permission to repeat myself, to explore things, to just do things that felt like maybe it's not acceptable in the world, but inside of me it was feeling so, there's room for this too. What else would there be room for? And then there was a whole time where all these sexual paintings, oh my God, you know, I felt like there's an excitement here. You know, you're breaking the rules and you can do anything, and there's something about, is this what pornography is? You know, it's like, wow, there's such an energy waking up in my body. And so from there it went to other things. And recently I found myself painting myself in the uterus and just feeling like this little being, just awake to life in the uterus. It was so much fun. It was like, ah, this is the life, you know, nothing to do. You just lie here and things pass in and out. And it was so much fun. I painted painting after painting, but then suddenly I felt, oh, I'm starting to get uncomfortable here. Something's pushing. And I began to look around and there came my family. Oh, I'm not just alone here in the world. There's my mother, you know, there's my father. And so they started pushing into my paintings. And then I kept going. And suddenly, with this great discomfort, I found myself drawn to Jewish men, painting Jewish men. I was like, what is that about? But it wasn't modern day Jewish men. It was these old, ancient Jewish men. It felt like with their beards, with their long hair, with a certain body smell, with a certain ancientness about them, they started coming into my painting. And I was like, oh no, you can't come in here, you know? It's like, but they don't listen to me. I love that this process doesn't listen to me. It's like saying, you don't want this, but let's find out. So, okay, there I was, this little baby just born, and these old men were there. And there wasn't just one. There were several that were coming in. And they were all around me, and I wasn't so happy in the situation. But there they were, and it was kind of, after a while, I kind of thought, okay, I can't make them go away. And then the next painting came, and the next painting, and then suddenly there was another painting where one came in. And I just felt like it was breaking my heart open. I suddenly found myself just loving the connection. It felt to me like I was finding Father, like I was finding something that was going to hold me and I was going to be so safe. And I just felt my heart, while I was painting, just opening and opening to this experience. And I was actually painting, there was a retreat going on, and I was painting, and I would watch people come by and stare at the painting, and I thought, oh, maybe there's something powerful going on here. And it was just, felt like, ah. And then more of them came in, and more. And then one day I was painting them, and suddenly they had these yellow armbands on with the Jewish star, and I thought, my gosh, they're going to die. That they can't really protect me, but I still felt safe. And I just kept going and felt like, oh, what next? What next? And I'm in the middle of it. It's kind of like they stopped visiting me recently, and I'm kind of lost finding my way. I don't know what's next, but they may come back again. But I feel like I just never know. You know, I think I've painted everything that's possible to explore, and then something else comes. And at first, it doesn't always feel like it's me or it's really true or the doubt can arise. But there's something about a trust that's building. I can't say when I started painting that I trusted my process. I trusted more that my teacher, with her passion, was going to help me through it. Sometimes I was so paralyzed I couldn't move, and she would literally hold me and move me back and forth to the paint. Barbara, pick up a brush. It was all I could do. It's like, okay. But slowly, slowly, I relaxed into it. And I don't think that we ever arrive. I don't think it's ever, now I know, now I've got it, now I can do this. I feel like even people that have been painting with me for a long time, I see that we develop habits, we develop styles, we develop ways, and we think, I've got it now. I'll never be uncomfortable again. I'll never feel like, I think we feel that we'll master control. But really what starts to happen is a letting go of control, even if I'm kicking and screaming. I was talking to someone today who said she showed up with a lot of resistance. And I said, yeah, I mean, we're facing the unknown. Is there anything wrong with resisting that? But we show up for it. In a way, why shouldn't we feel a little frightened of it for what we don't know that's going to happen? Now, it's not that I'm always frightened of it, but sometimes I am. But what I began to see, what supports our processes, is making it non-negotiable. I show up in any state. I show up if I'm crying. I show up if I'm tired. I show up if I'm angry. I show up if I feel like there's no inspiration. I show up because I began to treat this process as unconditional. And it began to meet me there and show me that no matter how I met it, something would happen, something would come out. I didn't necessarily like what came out, and it was still important to keep moving. And so I began to see that the movement became more important than the piece of paper. That the movement, sometimes it felt like that was all I could do. Sometimes this process was so energizing, I couldn't stop. I could paint and paint and paint, hours and hours and hours, days and days. And it just felt like, oh, I'll never quit again. It just felt so delicious and energizing. And then there were times where I felt like, oh, I can't go there. I'm going to die if I paint this or if I... And I still kept going. But I remember a year ago, a period of time where I couldn't find a reason to paint. There was no good reason. I didn't feel like the painting was making me happier. I didn't feel like it was going anywhere. And I thought, well, maybe this is a place where I could stop. And I gave myself permission to stop. But something strange happened. Something still wanted to be there, even though it wasn't getting what it used to get from it. Something still wanted to participate. And I've become so curious about this, which keeps us showing up in spite of the judgments, in spite of the fears, in spite of the confusions and doubts. Something keeps us meeting this place. And I'm so curious about it. And in the teaching, I get to stand with people as they approach this. And I feel like the conversations that come out of this place are so exciting. And sometimes all we can do is a dot. And sometimes all we can do is stop and go, I can't do anymore, and do one more thing. It's stretching, going beyond what I know, going beyond what I think is possible. But in order to do that, I have to be willing to see what's more important, my life or a piece of paper. Generally, my life has won. It's not a guarantee every time. Sometimes that painting seems so important. I feel like, ah. But, you know, I look back at 30 years of paintings and I think, God, you know, I remember being tortured about some of them. And there it is. They don't matter. And they're part of the whole. They are what brought me here today. So they matter and they don't matter. And it matters that I meet what's there the only way I can, and it doesn't matter. And the more I speak or teach or paint or talk, I just find that this process has so many paradoxes and that they're not in opposition. It's not process versus product. That the whole includes all of it. That it's not the dark and the light. It's the inclusion of all of it. That the more I could let myself paint what felt very dark that other people might look at and go, that's dark, I felt the light inside myself. But I couldn't stop there. It doesn't stop, okay, you've done that, you're done. It keeps going. What's next? What's next? And maybe there's many, many paintings like that. And what's next? But the more I would open, I began to find that it was an opening that would pass through very light colors, very dark colors, very light colors, very dark colors, sometimes both within the painting, sometimes only red and black, but I couldn't determine that ahead of time. It was happening as I began to just let myself trust, find my way, pick up the brush, and be willing to not protect the painting. And I actually found by not protecting the painting, I felt an amazing safety inside myself. That the painting didn't need my protection. That the real safety came through the exploration. That the more I would inquire and go, I suddenly felt the more spaciousness was there. The more I stretched, the more flexibility is there. But I can't think that this is all there is. It never feels like that. It's always, what's next? And there always seems to be a white piece of paper waiting, calling. So it's a little bit of a life. So I would like to invite, if there are questions that you're finding in your process, I feel this is about creativity, that it applies to every way we meet and stay in response to life. So if there's any questions or things that you would like to talk about today in regards to this, things that you find coming up or that work for you or that don't work for you, questions, concerns, I would love to see what we could do with that together. Yes, Parisa. Yes. Yes.
That's some of what was going through my mind, because I thought, well, I'm not a painter. I'm not going to put out something in the world that is going to enlighten somebody or illuminate them.
Yes.
You know, connect them with beauty or sorrow or
yes.
anything. It's just for me.
Yes. 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 Can we be selfish?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's it. What I began to find, it wasn't about the paintings, it was about what was happening to me through the exploration. The more that I could allow, the more I could see, the more I could be with people. And so in a way, I say, be selfish, be really selfish. But then we saw the other day, what's the self? You know, it's this thing that's changing and growing. And so in a way, can we be take up more space sometimes? In our process. What else?
We're going to use a handheld mic.
Oh,
so
thank
Beth
you.
Has it.
Kind of building on that theme, I'm in the writing portion of this program, and being selfish is a wonderful thing, and I can explore things, and then not want to share those.
Yeah.
But then there's also wanting to create something that does illuminate and light people up and
yeah.
make a difference for them. And
yeah.
once again, a paradox of letting go, but at the same time, crafting something that has the other in mind.
Yeah.
How do you create the product with that intentionality? You know, this one's to connect. Do you let it rip and not worry about that and then it happens? Or do you intentionally create a piece that will be out there?
You know, for me personally, I found that the connection comes through the truth. I mean, when I can put my heart and my soul unstopped, unchecked, uncensored into something, people feel the aliveness in it. It brings the light, it brings the connection. But if I'm doing it to get the connection, I'm often holding a part of me back. If I'm holding something back because it may offend, it may be too much, then I'm not as truthful with myself. So first I make the space for myself. And maybe somebody will find beauty in that. Maybe they won't, but I feel the beauty that's arising through me. And I also have to say, I'm beginning to, I made a little booklet of this recent series of paintings that I'm beginning to see, can I show them in the world a little bit and see what happens? But it was never my intention to paint for the world. And yet I have a feeling they're one and the same. If I completely paint for my being, it will serve the world too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else that gets in the way here?
As you were talking, I thought you know, this is a description of my experience with meditation, that coming back again and again, not trusting it at first, not knowing where it was going to lead, and then it opening and opening, and every, you know, the whole process really felt so similar to what happens in the Dharma on the path.
Yes.
So thank you.
You're welcome. This is what Anna and I discovered years ago. This is the same thing. Anything else? Anything that gets in the way of your letting go, letting it rip? Anything that stops you from exploring, discovering? Yes, Paul.
I've experienced a lot of freedom working in an environment where I'm not being in a co-artistic relationship with the people in the studio.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring, but not having to discuss what you're doing just takes a huge weight off of the part. You can be completely focused on where you are, and you don't have to feel like you're in a position where you have to respond to anybody.
Yes.
And in a way, that's kind of also why being on retreat is so valuable, because you have the opportunity to focus really intensely on one thing.
Yes.
So that's been an interesting experience for me. And like I said the other day, never having worked in a shared studio environment like this, that element of it has been really unique and been very interesting. So thank you as well.
You're welcome. And I mean, it's great to find what supports your creativity. What keeps you, you know, going on? And it's often, for me, it's like that support of people around you, but not critiquing, not commenting, but being with themselves the best way they can, that gets you to keep staying with yourself. So I love to do it in community, in a non-judgmental environment.
Speaking as a writer, and I'm assuming that there's a lot of similarity in this respect. Over the years, I've developed a love-hate relationship with my writing. When I'm writing and the inspiration comes and I really feel like I'm creating something, then it's, you know, I mean, that reminds me why I write.
Yes.
That's why I'm there.
Yes.
And then I seem to forget that each time.
Yes.
I kind of think, well, no, there's a lot of resistance there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, or about ways to remember, perhaps, or...
You know, what I like to say is it is a process of practice. It is remembering and forgetting and remembering and forgetting, and you're describing it so beautifully, and sometimes we forget so long, but then what I love is something pushes inside ourselves. Something wants out. Something wants it, even though it may not be satisfied, or if I haven't painted in a little while, it's a little bit rusty. So it's like, oh, I have to warm up again. When it's flowing, God, I don't want to stop. But when it's not, it's being willing to stay there. That's that non-negotiable place where can I commit, whether it's to 10 minutes, whether it's to a half hour, whether it's to an hour, whether it's to having another human being there that will hold me to my commitment. What keeps me held in a structure that supports creativity? Sometimes by myself, it's too easy to forget and leave. But if someone else is there. So it's finding ways that nurture that space when it gets tough. It's easy when it's easy, but that for me is the practice. That's what develops us, is can I meet it when it's hard? Can I stay there when it feels like it's not going anywhere? It's not easy sometimes. But what it develops and what it brings forth is amazing, because it's coming again from the inside out. Anybody else? Yes. No microphone?
No, I tried to speak something. I think what happening if I try alone in my room?
Yes.
Because like meditation, when I sit in my room alone,
yes,
it's completely different when you can have support,
yes,
the other people, the other silence and this place, for
yes,
example. And I'm alone with my painting,
yes,
but I'm feeling the support, the other people, and
right,
I'm thinking what's happening when I go back to my home and try to do this alone.
Yes. And you know, there's something valuable about doing that too. There is. It's great when there can be support, and sometimes that can't be. We've developed Skype. I have a few students coming in from England and New York and
Brazil.
And Brazil. It's an amazing thing because I feel the longing to be connected is so strong. But if we don't have that, how can we find a way to be with ourselves? That's the question you're asking. I think it is a learning, it's a developing, and to have the kindness and compassion as it develops, that it may not be so easy. Like we come out of here, we'll come out of the retreat, and the juices will be running, we'll be, oh, I can do this, and then each day you might need it, and each day a little less maybe, or life gets very busy, but that is the practice. Can I come back to this place? It's a deep, nurturing place, but we forget, and then we remember, and then we forget. Kind of like life. Anything else?
You know, I think I can talk without the microphone. Dennis Palumbo wrote a book called Writing from the Inside Out.
Uh-huh.
Could you talk a minute?
Yes.
Would you mind using the mic because we're recording?
Okay.
And it would be nice to
hear. I feel like I'm really screaming, though. Okay. Writing is can be very lonely, and you don't have the support like you do in a painting class.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was Anne Lamont that said, you know, it's to produce something like a book, it's 99% perspiration, 1% inspiration. So I just wanted to know if you had some ideas to just motivate someone who is, you know, trying to publish a book, publish anything, because they don't have the group support that painters have, sculptors.
Well, I mean, group support is not just a given. A lot of us seek other people out to do that. Like Susan was saying yesterday, they set up writing meetings. You know, it's like people get other people together for that purpose because there is an incredible loneliness. I feel that we're longing to not feel so isolated with our creativity. So there are ways to connect, to meet other people that are searching to do it together. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I will paint alone because I can't help myself. It's like I can't wait for someone else, but mostly I will set up painting dates. I will have someone come, and because I like to know someone's there if I disappear, that they'll notice. You know, sometimes when I paint, I don't know what's going to happen, so I like to have someone around, but if I can't, it pushes inside, and that's my connection too. But I hear about these perspiration and inspiration. It's like, can we keep moving towards it, or what's going to nurture your writing?
And I think with many other mediums, it's the immediate gratification.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Having.
I think other people might not agree.
Yeah, but I mean, you can, you know, a painting. You
yes.
can do a painting within a class or two. It just is different with writing. Yeah.
I think if you talk to a painter, they might not agree. We act like that must be easier or different, but I see, you know, in a way, we're still all facing this the judgments, the wanting to produce, the wanting to show that I'm a good person, that this is great, that I can change the world. You know, there's that pressure that we all face.
Funny. You're talking totally about coming in blank. That's what I'm hearing. I mean, not driven with any conscious intent as you face the blank paper. Is that right?
If I said that, then that's not exactly.
That's not right.
No.
Okay. Oh, that's helpful. Because I think I was curious about, do ideas that you come in with play a part for you?
Sometimes it's pushing. If I saw the most beautiful sunset and I go to paint it and it's not coming from the inside out, it doesn't really nurture my being. It doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes something's pushing. It's so strong inside that it gets me and I start with it. But the key here is that I don't really know the outcome. I start and I call it inventing it. It's almost like I can sense, oh, I need this body. And the body is like I'm watching it. I'm watching the unfolding as I paint. Rather than directing, I'm watching the unfolding. So I might have a push inside, I might have an idea, or I might just have a color sometimes. Sometimes I know it has to be red. It can only be red to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start there. It may take form, it may stay abstract. That I can't know. Sometimes I come in and I just feel like I have no idea what I feel, what I am, what's going on. And then I just start with color and start mm-hmm. moving. And eventually it may lead me to something. Sometimes I just do a bunch of fast paintings to warm it up. And then suddenly, but that suddenly might take a few hours.
Right.
And we're not often patient with ourselves. So sometimes it takes a while to keep that going. But no, so it is very possible to start with something, and it's very possible to start with nothing. Both are true.
Right. Thank you. I also just wanted to say how moved I was by your talk.
Thank you.
And particularly the Jewish men. And just to acknowledge that tonight is the beginning of Yom Kippur, so I just was feeling, you know, the cycle.
Wow. It's true.
Yes. We begin at sundown.
Yes. Thank you. Here.
Thanks. Thank you.
I think I've been writing for a pretty long time, and the hardest part, well, it's all hard, but a really hard part is dealing with, you know, the business side. And here's where I found that meditating really helps, because there's that whole thing about what's real, you know, reality. So when I, you know, visit my agent in LA and have a script, if I allow myself to get sucked in and think this is reality, it never works. And but it's been a practice to unlearn, what's the word, holding my worth or my voice to the marketplace rather than to myself.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know about painting, I'm sure it's the same, but I know that from writing either screenplays or a novel, it's really market-driven, especially screenplays. And it's, you know, early on you can feel really bruised by lots of rejection.
Yes. But what's interesting is something keeps going.
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking to.
Yes.
What is it that doesn't stop?
Yes.
What is it that gets the little child that takes a step for the first time and falls down, and they don't say, well, that's it, I'm giving up here.
Right.
You know, something is driving them to move, to keep strengthening the muscles, even when everybody's saying, forget it, it's no good. What is it that from the inside is pushing in spite of that?
Right.
Mary Oliver has a beautiful poem that I was thinking to read called The Journey, and you might know this one. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble, and you felt the old tug at your ankles, "Mend my life," each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations through their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. Mary Oliver. So, one more. I think we have time for one more. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how this process that we're all in here now can play out in our day-to-day lives, even if we're not artists or writers or painters? I know when I was here 2 years ago, I did the painting and I just loved it. But, you know, I paint very little since then. My life takes over and other things. But I feel like I learned a lot from that in the way of like taking risks and kind of going past boundaries and things like that. So I just wondered if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Well, you said it well. I feel that the painting for me is a tool. It's not the end. It's the tool that actually puts me more into life. It's not that it's about the painting. It becomes more about my relationship to life, to the planet, to the sky, to everything. That's what gets developed as we allow this movement to move through us so that it stops being about the piece of paper in front of me. It starts being about, what do I take with me? What opens inside of me? I am in relationship to everything. And the more I can include everything, even the things, as Anna was saying the other day, maybe it was this morning, even the things I don't like, even the things that I feel like, oh no, I don't want that around me, as my heart opens and can include that, I can move more easily in the world. And it seems like you have a great teaching going on inside of you right now, and it feels like that's your creativity, that's where creativity is moving you right now. And I feel like that's an amazing learning. Can we stay open to life? I often feel that play is our response to life. And for me, painting is play, but life has that sense of play. We just take ourselves a little bit too seriously sometimes that we forget that this is all for trying on. This is all a practice. We don't get the script when we're born. We're inventing it. And it changes a lot. Anything else? Yes.
I don't really want to talk in the microphone, but I'll
go ahead.
Thank you. I know we've already talked about this, but it feels like I need to talk about it more, just bringing it into the light. And just living with a lot of shame, being in the studio, I look around and I see artwork. I see everybody, what looks like art to me, and I look at my paintings and I see five-year-old. I'm not sure what I want to say about this, but before I came this week, I was telling my boyfriend what I wanted to paint. I said, I want to paint a huge vagina. And so yesterday I began to paint one, and I didn't like the way it looked, so I covered it up, and you encouraged me to paint a vagina in my next painting. I said, no, I can't. It has to be a really nice-looking vagina in order to paint it. And so I've been avoiding it. And then this morning, you asked people, you know, what's one of the scariest things to paint? And, somebody said a vagina. And I thought to myself, well, that's not a scary thing to paint. I just don't know how to paint it. And then somebody across from me was painting this huge vagina. And I just got so deflated. I thought, that's my vagina. She's painting my vagina. And I guess, you know, out in talking with you, maybe I'll just let you respond now.
No, go ahead.
But there's not just one vagina in the world. There's permission to paint a vagina from the perspective of a five-year-old, which
yeah.
is where I feel like I am in my painting process.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you're the only one that can do that right now.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
No. Yeah, this is Spirit Rock history being made. I have to make the comment that I believe this is the first time since we built this place that we have used the word vagina in the meditation hall. And I thank you for it.
I mean, why wouldn't we be painting that? Why wouldn't we be exploring these things? Even when the children have the space and the permission in the classes, they begin to paint the body. Why wouldn't they? Where did we learn that some things are okay and some aren't? And so in a way, we're curious. And can we allow ourselves to really dare? Why wouldn't we? Anything else? Yes, Clarissa.
You talked quite a bit about your process of inquiring.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious about what you mean by that.
Okay.
And what your process is and what are you inquiring about? Mm-hmm. Or do you know it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I actually feel the painting is the inquiry. It's not that I'm standing there wondering, which I am doing all the time too when I'm not painting, but for me, the painting is taking me into an exploration of humanity. It's taking me here and there, exploring what my ideas and beliefs and concepts are that I thought were mine. They belong to me, but really what I'm finding is that they never belong to me. I was taught this from the culture, from the family, from the country. I was taught many things. And so as I paint different things, as I paint the color black, I realize, ooh, this is a very powerful color that isn't only meaning what people have attributed to mean, the dark, the negative, that it means for me amazing light. So I'm inquiring through paint, through my discovery of form, formlessness, through repetition, through allowing myself just to go wherever it takes me. That's the inquiry.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so thank you all for participating.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.